Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the special city council meeting for March 6th. City clerk, you recognize the roll call?
Mayor, please.
Here.
Councilor Acker.
Here.
Councilor Glazer.
Here.
Councilor Geiger.
Here.
City manager Caleb.
Here.
Welcome, everybody, for coming this evening. With the amount of people that we have here and a lot of new faces, just to give you a brief idea of how it's going to, what's going to happen tonight. First thing we're going to do is open up public comment. Be nice to one another, shall we?
Hi, everyone. I'm Becca Shaw Glazer. I live in Rockland. Really excited to hear from everyone who wishes to speak and hope there will be enough space for all voices to be heard. I hope you will speak your passions and your truths. This is kind of a phenomenal turnout. First of all, I'd like everyone who came here to support the resolution to stand up and feel proud.
We don't do that.
And then,
You move the mic, you can't hear me.
Oh, sure. Okay, then feel free to sit down whenever. So, we're a broad, varied community, and I think it's important to hear various viewpoints. And I also want to thank the people who came to express concerns. I love to hear various viewpoints, as long as those views respect others' basic humanity. As we discuss the resolution of commitment to promoting an open, respectful, healthy community tonight, we should keep in mind that this is a resolution, not an ordinance. I think of it more like a gesture that the city is making to its residents, its neighbors locally and around the world. It's like setting up a signal that we support the environment and diversity in all its forms. These are gestures at things we would like to do and be, but nothing in the resolution obligates us legally. There may be things said tonight that people find hurtful, and if so, I encourage you to reach out. I personally am happy to speak with anyone. You are not alone. I'd like to thank the many Rockland businesses, organizations, and religious institutions who support the community resolution on the agenda. Many people worked to gain their support. Adasya Sharon Synagogue, Asymmetric Arts, Bella Luna Toys, Bufflehead Sailing Charters, Curator, The Dancing Elephant, First Universalist Church in Rockland, Friends of Penobscot Bay, The Grasshopper Shop, Hello Hello Books, Houston Tuttle, Innerwork Center for the Healing Arts, Island Institute, Archipelago, IZP, Jonathan Frost Gallery, Knox County Democratic Committee, Main Street Markets, Midcoast Community Darkrooms, Midcoast Women's Collective, New Hope for Women, One Less Worry, Over the Rainbow Yarn, Penobscot Language School, Periscope, Playing with Fire, Redbird Acupuncture, Renew Rockland, Real Day Spa, The Ripple Initiative, Rockland Refuge Recovery, Steelhouse, and the Woodstove Lines. Thank you, everyone, for being part of what should be a fully democratic, open, and transparent process. In the end, this should be less about four city councilors and more about all of us and what kind of city we think Rockland should be. Ultimately, we will not all agree on everything. It is my hope, though, that in the final vote, we make sure to include the most vulnerable groups. If we don't, we should ask ourselves, exactly what is a resolution like this for if we have deliberately excluded those who are most in danger? It is okay not to have a unanimous vote on this. Some things, such as everyone's basic rights, should not be compromised. Some of you know that the mayor has written an alternative resolution. This broke with standard council protocol. The most democratic procedure is to alter a resolve after the community has had a chance to chime in on an official resolution. I personally can't support the mayor's unofficial version at this point because it removes many of the groups and items which are fundamental to the very integrity of what a diversity resolution should be. But please remember, we're not here to discuss the unofficial version. We're here to discuss the version which is on the agenda tonight, to do justice to the community version which has been making the rounds for months and has been signed by over 30 Rockland groups. We must start from that version. Let me be clear. It is the voice of the people, and not the few lovely people on the council, who should get to decide what kind of a community we want to be. Right now is a wonderful moment for Rockland. We have the chance to take a stand at the city level and state proudly that we support everyone. Let's send a welcoming message, particularly to those who, like me, grew up in the area, but don't know exactly know whether the majority in the community support their right to be who they are, love who they love, look how they look, think how they think. Let's declare publicly that we believe in human rights for absolutely everyone, no exceptions. And thank you all for being here. This really is amazing.
Thank you, Becca. Next, Rockland resident.
My name is Kendra Denny. I'm a resident of Rockland.
I was one of a small group of people who met with Mayor Clayton on Thursday to discuss the diversity resolution, and I have some concerns about the revisions that he has made. First of all, and most importantly, the original document as introduced by Councillor Glazer is the version which has been circulated widely throughout Rockland and has gained a substantial amount of community support. There are some important language differences between the two versions, and it troubles me that the council will now consider passing an amended version that has not been widely circulated, based at least in part on the support and popularity of the original. For this reason alone, I strongly urge you to consider passing the resolution in its original form. More specifically, some of the language that has been omitted from Will's version includes immigration status, gender expression, neurodiversity, decriminalization of addiction, and climate change. It concerns me that to omit these issues from the resolution is tantamount to ignoring them. And with that, I would like to take a moment to read the original version. The resolve commitment to promoting an open, respectful, healthy community, whereas Rockland, Maine is home to and a destination for diverse people from all over the world. Now, therefore, be it hereby resolved by the City Council as follows, that we as a community are resolved to welcome and celebrate difference, diversity, and individuality among residents, workers, and visitors in all ways, including but not limited to ability, race, creed, national and cultural origin, immigration status, color, age, religious beliefs, class, neurodiversity, sexuality, gender identification, and gender expression, and that we stand in solidarity with all who are marginalized or threatened and will work to make our community a safer place where each person's dignity is honored. We believe that everyone has a right to clean air, clean water, shelter, safety, food, and pleasure, and that we oppose any policy on the part of any government or business which scapegoats people, spreads inequality, and intentionally takes rights away from the most vulnerable among us, and that as a community, we intend to continue taking proactive action on the issues we face, including, but not limited to, reducing poverty, homelessness, climate change, the criminalization of addiction, sexual assault, racism, and domestic violence. We will continue the work we are doing to improve healthcare access, fair wages, affordable housing, addiction treatment, training for police and first responders in diversity and harm reduction, while maintaining a productive harbor and healthy working waterfront, creating safer school environments, increasing accessibility for people with disabilities and to gender-inclusive bathrooms, and bettering quality of life for all. We want this city to always be a safe place for those needing shelter and will endeavor to provide secure shelter to any who need it, and that Rockland will also continue doing its part to protect the environment and mitigate climate change through local action aimed at reducing waste and pollution, planning for rising seas, promoting energy efficiency and sustainable generation, and being good stewards of our natural resources, and that this is a community-wide effort. We urge those in need of support to reach out to the city and local groups. We encourage places of worship, homes, schools, businesses, organizations, and individuals to post signs and take part in actions which demonstrate our dedication to being a welcoming place of refuge and safety, and that we will stand up against any crime of hate or bullying in our community and seek to address the underlying causes of scapegoating. As we look to the future, we know that in order to continue growing in a healthy direction, we need to support those who live here, those who move here, and those who visit, and that Rockland, Maine intends to stand as a beacon of diversity and democracy, furthering the project of liberty and justice for all.
My name is Don Robichaud, Jr. I live at 9 Melrose Circle South in Rockland and have lived there since 1981. I am a homeowner. I've worked in the city of Rockland my entire life at the fire station. And some of the things that I've seen when I've gone into some of these homes, especially elderly and fixed income places, would probably make your hair curl. One example would be cat and dog food, empty containers. The thing missing would be animals. So I wanted to speak to this resolution this evening. I believe this resolution is the first step in identifying Rockland as a sanctuary city. To give you a little bit of background, the RSU now has more than $38 million worth of debt. Of that, Rockland's is more than 40% responsible for that. So going forward, I would like to encourage the counselors to keep that in mind as you start floating additional bonds. One of the things that I have concern about is the state and the federal governments have said that if you have a sanctuary city, they may withhold state and federal funds. This will be devastating to this community, the city of Rockland, if any additional funds are cut. You say, well, they say that they may not. Well, are you willing to take and spin that roulette wheel with everybody else's taxpayers' money? All elected officials and police officers are sworn to uphold the law. And if this proceeds and goes through to be a sanctuary city, you're forcing the police department to possibly, and handcuffing them, and preventing them from enforcing the laws that they're sworn to uphold. The same way with your oath, when you take your oath, you are to uphold all laws of the state, the city, and the federal government. One of the concerns that I have, and it's quite interesting, that one group of people that is not mentioned in this resolution. That's the elderly and those that are on fixed incomes. There's no mention how, as taxes continue to increase, how we're going to take care of them. Are they going to be driven out of their homes? They certainly won't be able to, if we lose federal and state funds, they certainly won't be able to sell their homes because they will be worth nothing. One of the problems, especially with people on fixed incomes, is they have not had the situation where they have had increases in their salaries to keep pace with inflation. One of the other things that with the elderly, too, is that isn't addressed in this resolution is elder abuse. That's not mentioned. And also, we have another nationality that's maybe not so popular in this area, but certainly other parts of the state, and that's the Native American. They were the first ones to Maine. So we really, unless you're a Native American to Maine, one of the main tribes, they were all immigrants. But I'd be willing to bet that we all came here, or our families came here in a legal way. Other communities have adopted this or some form of this resolution. If the city loses any more of the state and federal funds, like I said, it will increase taxes and reduce property values. Why do I care if other cities or municipalities do this resolution? I live here. I've worked here, and my family lives here. What other cities and towns do, we do not have to follow their lead. It is very disturbing to think that we need to follow their lead. One of the other things I thought was quite interesting, we talk about peace and harmony in this resolution. But as we see on TV, the peaceful demonstrations are no longer peaceful. Demonstrations and the increasing violence. Why isn't that addressed in this resolution also?
10 seconds, though.
Okay. If you don't agree with certain laws, don't expect citizens to ignore them, but to work with the legislature to change them, please. Thank you.
I think I did the reading side.
Good evening.
members of council, residents of Rockland. My name is David Stavotsky. I live on Broad Street. I would like to speak in regards to order number 13, authorizing waste disposal agreement with Ecomin. Tonight, I'm asking you, members of Rockland City Council, to do the right thing and table this order until you have had a chance to fully examine the consequences of signing such a contract. Under FOA guidelines, I obtained a copy of an internal email dated February 14, 2017, from David Samoran to Audra Calderwell, stating that Rockland was interested in a 3-year contract at $57.85. Why are we now talking about 20 years? It's a huge difference signing for 3 years or for 20. Please go around Midcoast and talk to our neighbors. Talk to Jim Guerra, manager of the Midcoast Solid Waste Corporation, and understand why they are only signing 3 years. And they are now conducting an online survey to understand what would be the best for the towns of Camden, Rockport, Hope, and Lincolnville. I would like to mention that their transfer station handles at least 10 different waste streams. On a closer look, the Ecomin contract does not seem to be the cheapest option for Rockland. Sure enough, the initial price of $57.85 looks enticing, but this is more of a fishing hook than a real price for handling our solid waste. Soon enough, we will be paying $74.97 adjusted for inflation. Think about the real cost of working with Ecomin. Here, it's only 58 miles away from us. Ecomin is 83 miles away, and in summer, chances are, they're going to be having hot dogs while they are stuck in Reeds, and they cannot move and deliver the waste to Ecomin. They have the option to go around through Gardiner. That's going to be 102 miles. Drivers charge by mileage and time. There are no savings here with Ecomin. By the way, why is it that City Hall never gave other companies the chance to come to our meetings and present their proposals? Fiber ride was never a real possibility. It's still more than a dream than the real engineering plan. And what about PERC or other solid waste companies? So in closing, I urge you, please, hit the brakes, figure out what's going on, and do not sign us for a 20-year contract with Ecomin. Thank you.
Thank you, David. At this time, before your forgiveness, at this time, I'll accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to suspend the rules and extend the time for public comment.
Okay. There is a motion on the table to extend public comment. Any discussion on this motion? Stewart, recognize before we vote on the motion.
Councilman Blazier.
Yes.
Councilor Acker.
Yes.
Mayor Fleet.
Yes.
Councilor
Geiger. Yes.
4-4 non-opposed. Now, if we could have a show of hands of those wishing to still speak. Eight slot, please. So 30 people.
You should give us 2 minutes.
Well, I was actually going to go there. I will not decrease mandatorily the times, but two different options. With the amount of people that we have, each person taking 5 minutes, that's 150 minutes. Knowing that there is also an open discussion at the end of this where you can actually discuss back and forth with the councilors and each other. If you believe there may be an opportunity with yourself and what you have to speak at the podium, maybe that people use that at the table, but I will not go there. So at this point, 30 speakers or less. So I'm going to be pretty firm in this one, that anybody wishing to speak after 30 speakers, I'm sorry, but we have to relegate it to the session at the end so we can continue with the evening's events, especially presentation of a plaque for a great man. Yes, yeah, please.
Hi there. My name is Chelsea Kidd. I live on Broadway. And let me put it simply. Maine is an isolating place. Many people like that. They find a sort of romance in the jagged rocks and the rustic cabins in the pine forest. And if that is what you're seeking, wonderful. Maine has abundant opportunities for you. But many of us here want what so many humans want, and that's connection and acceptance. I was born in Maine, right here in the Mid-Coast, and have lived here all of my life except for 1 year. Yet I'm not really considered from here because my parents are from out of state, from away. A message I received in childhood and continue to receive today. It's alienating, but it's nothing compared to what other people face because their skin's a little bit darker than mine or their accent's a little bit different. I heard some say that Mainers are good, kind people. We don't need a resolution. We just are that way. Except it turns out that that's not as true as we think. The things people in our own local community have said about refugees in particular paint a different, ugly picture. I won't give the comments the dignity of repeating them here, but a common thread through many was a misunderstanding of what it means to be a refugee, along with an utter disregard for immigrants of any variety, believing that we must take care of our own first, with a very narrow definition of what our own means. We need to make it clear that discrimination based on any immigration status is not acceptable in Rockland, Maine. This resolution, as it stands, is not revolutionary or radical or extreme. This is essential. It's laying the foundation for a better Rockland through human decency and economic good sense. Immigrants will go somewhere, and some are already here. Why not welcome them? Downey's magazine may say that Rockland is the best place to live in Maine, but the best place in a dying state doesn't mean much, and we have to turn that around. Taking a cowardly, discriminatory approach, even if it's currently trendy, improves nothing for Rockland and nothing for those who seek a better life here. Removing any element of this resolution would prove to be a lack of integrity. We cannot compromise the foundation, but we will always have the chance to build on it later.
Also, we need to get through this. I know clap thing is one of those things like to, but we have to really get through it. Greg?
Just a brief whistle, perhaps. Good evening, members of council, and good evening to this robust citizen. My name is Greg Marley. I live on Greenway here in Rockland. I'm here to speak in favor of the resolution supporting a healthy diversity in our city. Like almost all of us, if not all of us, my family came to this country as immigrants, seeking to escape tyranny and in the hopes of finding economic, religious, and political freedom in a new land. It may have been 4 or 5 generations back, but there we were. Like all waves of new Americans, my Irish and French ancestors faced discrimination, economic and social hardships, and bias, not too dissimilar to that being faced by some recent Hispanic, Asian, Middle Eastern, and other immigrants. In the transition to a new way of being, we all are more vulnerable to the established power base. They set the right rules, they enforce them. Today I also see significant bias and social hardship being faced by people who do not fit into our heteronormative culture. In my day job, I work to prevent suicide and to address the drivers of suicide in our communities. I wait not with patience for the day and the generation of young lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender youth who work through adolescence without facing the increased harassment, bullying, rejection, and all the behavioral risks associated. LGBT youth attempt suicide at rates 3 to 4 times higher than their straight peers. Rates among trans youth and adults are even higher. We together, as a culture, as a community, can do better. I also see ongoing bias for those living with mental illness. We are, among all of us living with mental illness. They are our siblings, our parents, our cousins, our neighbors. They are us. And of course, they live with us. Treat them as family. I support all that this city can do to place equality, acceptance, and celebration of all people as an aspirational and civic value. Please pass this resolution with resounding support. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And just a reminder, we're still on Rockland Residents First.
Bravo.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Jean Dooley, and I am the Executive Director of OutMaine. We have been here in Rockland for 20 years. Our current address is 63 Park Street. Our organization has been for 20 years supporting and empowering lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and questioning youth and their families. Greg, just before me, talked a little bit about some of the realities facing this population, and I really want to highlight that it's a bad situation for youth, particularly in our area. Greg's statistic of 3 to 4 times the suicide ideation and action rate for these youth is true, and Rockland, Knox County, has one of the highest rates in the state. 8 out of 10 of these youth experience bullying and harassment on a regular basis. They skip school, they drop out of school, they are at a high risk of substance abuse. They represent 25 to 40% of the homeless teens in the state of Maine. And that's bad news because we have no resources here for LGBTQ youth in terms of homeless options. I'm here on behalf of OutMaine and everybody who is a supporter of ours because we feel it's very important to make this kind of a statement that Rockland is welcoming and affirming and underline safe for everybody who might be perceived as different, however that is defined. In December, we held a retreat for youth, LGBTQ youth, and we asked them what's been happening since November. Have they noticed any difference in their experiences in their schools and their communities? Just pulled a couple of things out. They are seeing an increased verbal harassment in schools and communities. They feel like people can now say whatever they want. The band-aid has been ripped off. There are comments about Trump taking care of the gays the way Hitler took care of the Jews. This is in our schools. Students are telling other students to stay with their own kind. And transgender students, particularly as you look at the last 2 days, are more and more concerned about their own safety in bathrooms and in hallways. The situation is grave for these youth and has been for a while and is getting worse. So I am really standing here to encourage you to make a strong statement, not just a gesture, a strong statement that Rockland is welcoming and affirming for everyone. I'd like to just briefly read the letter that I submitted to the council today. This is from our organization, Dear Rockland City Council Members and the Mayor. OutMaine, whose mission is to support and empower rural LGBTQ youth and their families, is pleased and thrilled to support the Rockland City Resolution's efforts to make Rockland welcoming and affirming to all LGBTQ people, regardless of their sexual orientation, their gender identity, or their gender expression. All of those are different. In particular, we encourage efforts to provide gender-inclusive bathrooms, as well as the taking of a strong stand against bullying and harassment in any venue. OutMaine has always and will continue to work with schools, government agencies, community organizations, and providers toward the goal of creating welcoming and affirming communities. In the last 18 months alone, Out has trained over 2,000 providers and organizations on providing safe spaces for LGBTQ youth and families, and we look forward to continuing our 20 years of work right here in Rockland as efforts to bring the resolution's vision of a welcoming and affirming community come to fruition. I really encourage you to make a strong stand and support this work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean.
Next.
We're short on time. Step on up.
Mayor Clayton, members of the City Council, Rodney Lynch, Summer Street, Rockland. I'll make my comments brief because there's a lot of people waiting to talk. I would like to speak to resolve number 11, for which I am neither supportive of nor opposed to. But I would like to know from the City Council the causes which warrant this particular resolve for the City of Rockland. Even though I grew up in my hometown of Camden, I've been hanging out in Rockland since the 1950s, 1960s. And as such, I've always found Rockland to be open, welcome, diverse, and tolerant community. and except for a period in the 1970s and 1980s, a safe community as well. If, after due deliberation and discussion, the council believes that such a resolve is warranted for Rockland, then it should adopt it, but not just for the sake of doing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. Next up. No, thank you, Rodney.
Thank you, and thank you, councilors, for having this public opportunity to comment. My name is Kathy Westra. I live on Lime Rock Street here in Rockland. My partner, George Stevens, wanted to be here to speak also in support of the resolution in its original format. That's really important. I stand here as a poster child for white privilege. I'm a heterosexual woman who's had a professional career and has not bumped up against all the things that the communities named in the resolution have had to stand up for. In a town like Rockland, it's particularly difficult to be different. I want to share one small story with you that is an example of that. I have a friend here in town who is gay. He's lived here for decades. He has always been comfortable here. But after the election, he and I were talking, and he said, you know, it's like everybody's been given a hall pass to hate. He said, I've had people yelling at me and calling me a faggot in the grocery store. I've had people yelling from their trucks as they pass me on the street, shouting anti-gay comments. He said I had someone at the Walmart, now that's in Thomaston, but nearby. Someone who made a very derogatory comment to him based on their assumption that he was gay. I mean, he had never experienced anything like that. And he said to me, you know, Kathy, he said, I don't feel safe anymore. And he went into the next room and he brought out a clipboard with an application for a concealed carry permit, because he said, for the first time in my life in Rockland, I don't feel safe. So this resolution is for him and for all of the young gay and transgender people and for immigrants and for people whose skin is a different color and for people whose last names are Hispanic last names who are being subjected to random assaults just because of their, you know, being victims of the hall pass for hate. And I would urge the council, please, to adopt the original wording of the resolution, not to water it down. We need to say that we aspire to be our highest and best selves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandra Shaw, 39 Pleasant Street. I'm not here to speak about the resolution, though I do support it. I'm here as a member of Renew Rockland, and I'm here to support the contract with EcoMaine, particularly for its inclusion of single-stream recycling, and for a 20-year contract. Currently, Rockland's recycling rate is roughly 17%, while our waste stream is made up of over 50% recyclable materials. It's important to note that 76% of our community's waste is delivered by commercial haulers with little or no recycling opportunities. And we would propose that the city review and workshop the municipal solid waste ordinance to help close this recycling gap. And also, EcoMaine has pretty phenomenal numbers in terms of increasing recycling for all the communities that they have adopted and as part of their business. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Xander.
Good evening, Council. Amy Files, 39 Pleasant Street. I wanted to echo just what Xander said, that Renew Rockland, the Waste Watchers group, which has been working with Dave St. Laurent, educated ourselves on the contract option and feel that it would be the best route for the city if we do want to increase our recycling. it would open up a whole new kind of process and give us a chance to close what we're calling the hauler gap, which is that a huge majority of our town is not coming to the transfer station and recycling. But we would request of council that a workshop be scheduled so that we can sit down with the public and haulers and have a discussion and be able to go through the details of the contract, because the reason that we felt it was the best option is because the climate of the current waste in Maine, the costs are going to go up inevitably, and we feel that if we don't sign into this contract, we're going to put the city at risk as far as our taxes and costs go. And also, if you crunch the numbers and factor in the ability to increase our recycling rates, there's potential for huge savings for the city. So it would be great to be able to kind of discuss that as a group. A little bit, a very tiny agenda item that is on the agenda for next week is a land swap. And I just kind of, it came to my attention through a conversation with a neighbor of the land a couple weeks ago that it seems like that same property was put out to bid last year, and that there were interested bidders and there was a possible great person who was, or someone who wanted to purchase it. So I would just suggest to council that don't let that item kind of go unnoticed. If you are interested in selling the property, to put it back out to bid, and maybe just kind of as a out of respect for the people who already involved themselves in the process, maybe send out another reminder to them. It's a pretty interesting piece of property. It's not mentioned in the agenda, but it's got a large quarry on it. And then as far as the resolve for diversity goes, Rudy Rothman signed on, and we're excited to see all these people out here support it. We were kind of late to the game in signing on, and partly because we wanted to really see that it was a community value that was being reflected, and so we were really excited to see the process and the different drafts and iterations it took. But ultimately, personally, what kind of made me feel that it was important to sign on was seeing the reaction to it. A lot of kind of backlash has been vocalized and reflects values that are the same values that I think the resolve really would like to deflect and decrease, and it really kind of brought to attention that we have a serious need here for this diversity in this type of language. So I would urge you all to support passing the language that's on the table tonight.
And except, just a reminder, we're still on Rockland residents first.
Good evening. My name is Daniel Quintanilla. I live on 7 Broad Street, and I've been living in Rockland for about 8 years now. I actually am an immigrant. I grew up in Mexico to a Mexican father and American mother, and I grew up there, and then we moved up here, and eventually I made my way over to Maine, ended up in Rockland, and actually Rockland is the place where the city I've lived the most time in any one place. And this is where I met my wife, Amanda. We love living here. We love all the people that we've met, and we've always felt that this was a safe place, a place where our family, you know, to come and visit. I just want to show you something that I'm sure you're all aware of, but I recently thought about it during the ban that came out in January by the president. More flyers were distributed that you're probably aware of, but these flyers, and I don't have a bigger poster, look like this. They were distributed in places like Freeport, Gardner, Augusta, and before them they were distributed like in Appleton, other places much closer to here. I don't mean to duplicate these, but there is one thing that really, really got me from these posters. It says, can you sleep tonight knowing, you can sleep tonight knowing the Klan is awake. Are there troubles in your neighborhood? This really, not only for me, but for other people who are friends of mine, people who I know, really troubles us, because it does kind of make us question whether we're welcome here, whether people like us are part of the community or not. So I'm just here to support the resolution. I think it's a very simple, good gesture to sort of say we're welcoming, and we're welcoming for the diversity of everybody who lives here. So thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Good evening, councilors and
Thank you to everybody who's turned out in support of the resolution to support inclusivity and diversity here in Rockland. I wrote a letter to the counselors and wanted to add a few things. This is something that affects me personally. I live and work here in Rockland, have a practice here, and love Rockland and want to see it thrive and the ability for us to work as a community keep increasing. The main thing is, people have fears about this affecting us economically. I think it's only going to enhance our position, not only in tourism, but attracting all kinds of people to town and by strengthening our schools. What I touch upon in my letter is that when any kind of bullying goes on, everybody feels unsafe. And learning doesn't happen in that environment. Our schools and education is how we're going to come up, how we're going to keep growing Rockland. There was a mention about there were fears. There are all kinds of fears associated with this. And someone touched upon the possibility that federal or state funding might be withheld from the state. And these are just threats. They are not. There are many other cities that have become sanctuary cities. If these threats would end up in court, we're not alone in doing this. And as you see, there's a huge groundswell of support for this. You're not going to be left alone fighting this off. The bigotry that is behind these threats. So thank you so much for opening this up to all of us, and I hope you support the resolution as it was written originally.
And I missed your name and address.
Abby Morrison, 20 Mill Street.
Thank you, Abby.
I live on Main Street. Is that better? Counselors and fellow area residents, I'm a full-time resident of Rockland. I'm relatively new to town. I moved here for a number of reasons, one of which was our unique and beautiful lighthouse. For those of you unfamiliar with the general history of lighthouses, suffice it to say they're built to keep people safe. Our democracy, likewise, is built by the people in order to keep people safe. Democracy cannot work without action, which is why I'm speaking tonight about the resolution for diversity. I'm speaking in support of it in its original terms. Our laws are sealed as words and made real as actions. And now is not a time in global politics when lip service is going to keep us safe. The resolution I initially saw speaks directly about action issues of social diversity and environmental protection, and concludes with a bold summation that reads, "Now, therefore, be it hereby resolved by the City Council as follows, that Rockland will continue to stand as a beacon of diversity and democracy, furthering the project of liberty and justice for all." This is a very empowering edict. This wording suggests that we are already empowered and perpetuating a social safety and acceptance and an ecological stewardship in our town. I have also seen a severely edited version of the resolution, which negates by omission climate change as a reality and waters down wording about a variety of diversity topics. I find these edits inexcusable, if not disgusting. I dismiss this version as it dismisses the validity of the issues in need of resolution. But noting those edits to this resolution is equivalent to voting against it. What strikes me in the latest version I've seen up for consideration is the conclusion that Rockland, Maine intends to stand as a beacon of diversity and democracy, furthering the project of liberty and justice for all. Now, it's one where they're asking you to pay attention to, do you hear what's lost in the rewording? What's lost is the concept of resolve. This wording disenfranchises our existing power, weakening our current stronghold to intention. I'm not here tonight to speak to those who would sign on to a limited version of this resolve. I find that action unacceptable. I'm here to speak to the change makers, to the members of this community who know that we the people are the power in our democracy and that our voices will be heard. We will speak clearly and we will not intend to make a statement only to be hushed. A resolution, by definition, is a decisive action. Let us not lose sight of that. Let us not be placated by diluted conversation, dim intention, or mincing of words. Let us decide as a community to take bright and shining, unmistakable action, to take on the responsibility of the project, to make democracy work by speaking up and speaking out audibly, visibly, with our actions, not just our words. This resolution must be inclusive, it must be decisive, and it must be beamingly noticeable to all passing ships in order to keep people safe. If we want to speak of beacons, let's be beacons. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines beacon as a signal fire commonly on a hill, tower, or pole, a lighthouse, or other signal for guidance, a radio transmitter emitting signals to guide air traffic, and a source of light or inspiration. Let's take pride in what our lighthouse stands for in Rockland. Pride in our community. Let's be resolved. Let's boldly, openly, and obviously represent Rockland, Maine as a place where people, all people, are treated like human beings, where we take care to ensure that our idyllic seaside village has a future in a changing climate. Let us be that lighthouse in no uncertain terms. Let us ensure civil liberty, and let us keep all people safe. It was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King who said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Thank you.
Folks, once again, can you try to get through this? And just so you know, Amelia was number 10 out of 30. Jesse.
Greetings, Council. Jesse Watson. I live over on the West Meadow Road. And I'm not here to talk about the resolution, although I support diversity and inclusion. Although it might be challenging at times, I think it's good for our evolution and so on. I wanted to follow up with an email that I sent just to follow up from the resolution that Councillor Acker sponsored last month about the food sovereignty ordinance and asked for a volunteer to come forward to talk to the state legislature. They're scheduling hearings for LD 725 coming up, and I just wanted to express my interest in the process for pursuing that volunteer position. I would be happy to serve in that capacity if council would have me. Thanks very much.
I'm Sarah Hertz. I live on Lake Avenue in Rockland, and I'm also not talking from a hot topic, which is the most important, but I'm one of a group of locals who've been educating ourselves on waste issues here, and after much discussion, research, and a visit to the EcoMaine facility, I support the 20-year contract with EcoMaine that includes the 3 years at a much reduced rate and the 5 years of single-sort recycling. This contract is better than other options that either cost more or are shorter term. And at first I was hesitant about a 20-year contract because 20 years does seem like a long time, especially when you have no reference. But it seems to be pretty standard. Thompson just signed a 20-year contract. Our current contract that's expiring is a 30-year contract. Fiber-ready contracts are estimated to be about 18 years, I believe. And we can't know for certain, but also ends seem to suggest the trash fees are not going to be going down. And As for city planning and budgeting purposes, it seems that knowing what our cost would be is a good thing, and this contract seems to be a good deal. A shorter contract could leave us scrambling to find ways to take our trash in a few years, especially if February doesn't pan out, which I hope is not the case. But EcoMaine only has limited capacity, so it seems safer to get in for the long term while we can. This contract also includes single-serve recycling, which I think is a great opportunity to increase our city's recycling rate. Rates have gone up by 10 to 25% or more in other cities that have switched to single-stream because it makes it so much easier for people. And this would also make it possible for residents and businesses who use local haulers to recycle. Because as it is now, unless haulers get prohibitively expensive new trucks, they can't really pick up the different recyclables separately. But they could use their same trash trucks to pick up single-stream recycling. Right now, as Andrew said, about 75% of our local waste is currently picked up by local haulers. And with this new contract, we have the opportunity to collaborate with these haulers to greatly increase our recycling rate and decrease our tipping fees and save a lot of money. Also, I strongly support the diversity resolution in its entirety.
Thank you, Sarah. Ricardo.
Ricardo McKeerson, under the Crescent Street here in Rockland. First of all, I'd like to thank each of you for serving us. You know, I know that today it isn't easy in these days we live in. But you know, and I believe we need this resolution. 2 years ago, we had 24 local church congregations sponsor a group that was here from Fredericksburg, Virginia, a bunch of kids. And they were housed throughout the community. Well, the first day before they arrived, I met a fellow that was a photojournalist who was traveling the perimeter of our country doing articles. And when he came to that concert they had, it was the Congregational Church, which is packed with everybody from one end to the other of the spectrum. He had a wonderful time. But what he said was he had never seen in all these places that he had been the faith community working together like he did in Rockland. So he stayed there a couple weeks and did different articles about what had happened through that. But you know, they were supposed to come back this summer. But they're not. Those 724 churches are not working together like they were then. And the only thing that has changed is the political polarization, which is a shame. You know, on the other hand, side of that, though, one of the local churches last fall had an evening called Come Meet Your Muslim Neighbor. And people from up in Oregon with the mosque came and shared about their faith. They expected 30 to 40 people. There were 180 people that showed up. So people that were willing to work together as we get to work together. So I really appreciate what you're doing in this resolve, and I know it will, one way or another, it will come together. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, my name is Lauren Hinken. I live on Dodge Mountain Road. First, I want to thank the council. I want to thank our law enforcement officers, firemen, firewomen, who I know work so hard to keep us safe and happy every day. I want to offer my full support for this resolution. I am Jewish and have been, since the result of this presidential election, anxious. I've been following the over 100 bomb threats to Jewish community centers around the country with alarm. I remember so vividly driving to my synagogue as a kid and seeing red spray-painted swastikas on my synagogue. I remember how my bucket of water turned from clear to red as I helped return the wall slowly back from red to white. I am not eager to relive this memory. The fact that bombs have not been found in any of these incidents is not reassuring to me. It's frightening that the threats have been made. The Southern Poverty Law Center says that there is an active KKK group in Maine, the Militant Knights Ku Klux Klan, which operates statewide. Here is a recent tweet. It's a scientific fact that the white race is superior. Earlier this year in Augusta, the KKK left flyers on people's lawns. These were from the traditionalist American Knights, one of at least 31 Klan groups active in the U.S. If you go to their website, their pitch is this. Join the KKK. Our children, our race, and our nation have no future unless we unite and organize white Christian patriots. Join the Ku Klux Klan. I would encourage the committee to think about what a no vote would mean. To me, it would mean we as a community are not resolved to welcome and celebrate difference and diversity. We do not stand in solidarity with all who are marginalized or threatened. We support policies which intentionally take rights away from the most vulnerable among us. This resolution is about inclusion. It is about reassurance. It is about upholding the rights of all to live peacefully in our community. It is about saying to a citizen like myself, we care, we understand, we empathize. It is about being proactive instead of reactive. It would mean a great deal to me and my family, who all now reside in Maine, to know that our local government acknowledges our fears, understands where they come from, and most importantly, acts to repudiate the hatred we're now seeing across this country. Thank you.
Good evening, folks. I'm Eric Voss. I live in Halls Lane in Rockland. There's a lot of people here. In 1958, I was born in Knox County General Hospital. I've lived here my entire life. I love the city of Rockland. And this might not be the right forum to bring this up, but one thing that really disturbed me tonight, when I got thinking about it, when we said the Pledge of Allegiance, I got thinking that if this was 20, 30 years from now, would the people know how to say it? Thank you.
Here. Ron?
My name is Ron Hubert, Executive Director of Friends of Knox Hot Bay, and I want to say something wearing that hat there. This past week has been a very important one for our part of the Bay there. The federal government blew into St. George and Mohegan with their scoping meeting on two floating ocean windmills and seeking out and getting info from the public and admitting, finally, as we found out, that they are hoping to site in a place that only allows you for 5 years. They're espousing a 20-year contract. Agencies, when I asked them, bureaucrats, and I said, what? So who knows what's going on with those guys? They just got a ton of money, and the big people have money. And over in St. George, Watts Cove, shore owners, they began fighting over this Watts Cove. It's a place where birds come many thousands of miles, but a little safe space. It's totally intertidal cove. And now some shore owners think, well, why don't we put some structures out into it? And the thing is, I would drive that off. And then finally, just the Fishermen's Forum, that brought a bunch of people together this week, and I don't know how many people from here went to it, but there's a lot about the herring industry and bait business, which is huge here, and it's important to know. And also about deep water corals we've got in our area here, and it's amazingly different from the ones out in Hawaii but in Florida, but the challenges facing the fishing industry with this are looming really big. And plus three top NOAA officials got grilled for that rally. That was interesting. But as far as the diversity resolution goes, I completely support the measure as the people put it together here. And I'm just very disappointed in the mayor coming up with the sort of bland Anytown USA template thing. It's only off the internet, but it's suitable for Nashville as Rockland. Anywhere. It has no real reference to our town at all. If you took the words Rockland off, no one would have the slightest idea it was about the diversity of our city. And what particularly piqued me was one of the important diversities of uses of our harbor. Do you know more than $1 million a year lobster comes through there? And a lot of other things, but city council often seems, and so that's just, well, that's something, but it's, you'd much rather have the passenger vessels and other sort of non-fishing industry stuff there. But that's another diversity we'd like to see put back in that. And, so anyway, I hope you've been listening. These folks have told you an awful lot, and there's even a diversity of opinion here, too, which is as it should be. Thank you.
Nathan Davis, 10 Fulton Street. As council knows, because I wrote to you and the local media about it, I support this resolve strongly, the diversity resolve. And I won't repeat what I wrote, except to note that my mother was a refugee and is an immigrant to these United States. I'd like to speak briefly regarding the inclusion of immigration status. and the resolve, which I know has been a topic of conversation over the past few days. Specifically, should Rockland, in the words of the resolve, welcome and celebrate difference, diversity, and individuality with respect to immigration status? As far as I understand, there are two classes of objections to including immigration status in the resolve. The first class of objections is economic. Economists have performed at this point a pretty wide variety of statistical analyses regarding the effects of illegal immigration, and the preponderance of evidence suggests, and most mainstream economists agree, that illegal immigration is a net benefit to the U.S. economy. This does come with some caveats. For example, illegal immigration often hurts the prospects of low skilled workers without a high school diploma. But our economy in general, and for most Americans, it helps more than it hurts. Any claim that undocumented immigrants are any sort of a lazy horde living on government assistance or not paying taxes is an alternative fact, let's say. As an example, undocumented workers paid around $13 billion into Social Security in 2010 and received around $1 billion in return. That's a net surplus, a net payment of $12 billion into the federal tax system. And those numbers, I should say, are made from the 2013 report from the Office of the Chief Actuary of the Social Security Administration. So I don't think there's any cause for concern that adopting this resolve would harm Rockland's or Maine's economy. The second class of objections that I've heard to including immigration status in this resolve are moral objections. As I understand it, some people don't want to seem to reward undocumented workers by welcoming them to Rockland. As I think we all know, large swaths of the American economy depend on the labor of undocumented immigrants, most notably the farming and the construction industries. And if one wants to avoid perpetuating a system that allows undocumented immigrants to get jobs and to get paid, then I hope one also, for example, boycotts the fruit in grocery stores that's picked by undocumented workers, or boycotts really any of the products produced by the many national companies that employ undocumented immigrant labor. My point is not to seriously suggest that anyone engage in such a boycott, but rather to illustrate that undocumented immigrants themselves are the least powerful and least wealthy element of the system that relies on and exploits their labor, and that most of us, including myself, participate in. I don't think that they deserve to be excluded from this result. One might object also that we should not welcome anyone who breaks federal law into Rockland. And in that case, we also should not welcome people who smoke medical or recreational marijuana, or people who work for cash and don't rigorously report every penny of their income to the IRS. Rockland contains plenty of people in both categories. Again, my point is not that we should actually exclude anyone, but rather that excluding people based primarily on whether or not they violate or have violated federal law is a standard that would be very difficult or perhaps impossible and almost certainly undesirable to apply consistently. So I hope that immigration status stays in the result. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ricky Schneier. I live at 111 Talbot. We just moved here about a year ago to Rockland. We're so new, we're practically not even here yet, and it feels that way too. But we love this community. And I wanted to tell a very short little story that I think illustrates essentially why I'm for this this resolution. I have to laugh. I'm from D.C. My idea of a diverse community is different than yours. But I do understand that it applies everywhere, and it needs to apply everywhere. In any event, I guess when my mother was 14, her stepfather was teaching in Italy when the fascists came to power. And they were Jews. And as am I, and I'm a socialist Jew. And they had to leave town really quickly, even though they were Americans. And they left with important papers plastered about them and inside their coats that they were taking back to the country for people to help people who are trying to get out. And they literally had to run to the train station. My mother was 14 and she had siblings 4 and 9, something like that. I'm not sure exactly. And so the whole family ran to the train and clambered onto the train just in time with the fascists behind them, running. And the conductor, who had never met my parents, I mean my grandparents or their family before in his life, he ordered the train to move forward early, off schedule. He owed them nothing. He did not know them. He just knew it was wrong. I beg you to do the right thing here. Any of us could be in the position of a disadvantaged human being at any time. We can say it's okay if it's not us, but it's not okay because they are us. Thank you.
My name is George Tarian. I live on Broadway here in Rockland. It's hard for me to speak after the previous speaker because that was such a poignant expression of what we're about. I want to say one small point and then tell a very short story, and I will be short. The small point is I heard it alleged this evening that this is a step to becoming a sanctuary city. I don't understand how the original resolution, which I support wholeheartedly, can be considered to be anything other than what it is. It is not to create a sanctuary city. Although I would support that. That is not what this is about. The point that I want to make, and this is because I think the conscience of Rockland is in this room, and I am proud to sense it, and I hope you are too, and I hope you will express your support of the conscience of Rockland by supporting the original resolution. For those people of Rockland who are not here and who might not even be watching this primetime television program, I would like to point out what I believe is the difference between the original resolution and the substitute that I read this morning and that prompted me to send each of you an email, which you have, and which I'm not going to read to you, but you know what I said. And that is, what would be a good way to represent to somebody who's not here what the difference between these two resolutions are? Imagine it's a cloudy day, and some people are walking on Main Street, and you can see the clouds thickening up there, and somebody says, you know, it might rain. Let's see if we can get some umbrellas. Let's get ready for the rain. Let's address the prospect of it being less than nice to be out walking today. That's the first resolution. The second resolution is a very weak version of it, and because it was shuffled, it's hard to make a contrast between the two resolutions. But the second resolution, as I read it, is basically, yeah, umbrellas might not be a bad idea. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to everybody. And my name is Leslie Spires, and I live on South Street in Rockland. I'm a local business owner. And as much as I respect everyone's opinion, I hope you respect mine. I do not believe in resolution number 11 as it's been brought forth or even with the changes the city council is suggesting. I would like to read you an email that I wrote to the city council. It starts out, my name is Leslie Spires. I'm a business owner and resident of Rockland. I moved to Maine 36 years ago from Massachusetts, where I lived in the suburbs and worked in and around the Boston area. One of the first things I noticed and loved about Maine's people, and still do, was their welcoming curiosity and acceptance of new people to the area. Was I ever called a transplant? Yes. Do I still get called a math hole? Yep, I do. Is it all said in jest? Most of the time, and if not, I consider the source. The articles I've been reading in the local paper and online about Rockland resolving to become a diverse city are interesting but also a concern. As an adult, I know and feel it is morally wrong to be cruel, hateful, racist, judgmental, and to bully others for whatever reason. Also, I'm very aware that there are people in this community and surrounding areas that were not brought up to respect other people's rights and feelings. These people know, as adults, that negative behavior is not tolerated. We have state and federal laws that protect all people's rights. Recently, a woman came into my business with a poster that she felt I needed to hang up, identifying my business, as a place that the LGBT community, all races, genders, and religions would be welcome. I found this insulting, as my home has always been welcome to anyone that I call my friend. And my business is open to anyone as a customer that respects me, my workers, and the people that come there. And if I have people that come in, and it has happened, that are unaccepting of people because they're gay, because of their race, or whatever reason, because they're fat or skinny, if hurt at all, I own a bar. Their negativity is given one warning, and then they're asked to leave. We do not allow it. We like a happy, welcome atmosphere. And one of the things that the summer people, not just summer people, anyone, because people come all year round say that they love about the old neighborhood gin mill is that the local people are so friendly, so curious, they want to talk to you, and they're so accepted. These are Rockland people, and I'm so proud that these are my people, my customers. It is not necessary to hate sentences. I don't believe it's necessary to hang a sign stating so. If myself and other business do not display such a sign, is that being interpreted as everyone isn't welcome? I hope not. Isn't it better to not label and just assume all will be treated kindly and with respect that they deserve? By passing this proposed Resolve 11, you are telling people how and what they must feel, think, and act. We already know it and do not need a sticker on our forehead saying so. Rockland does not need to be on any list stating it as a diverse city. I don't believe there's a problem here, and I don't believe anyone should be looking for one. In regard to the business owners that stated in one article that they have employees who have been called names, no matter who you are or where you go in this world, there will always be some place or someone that says negative things. Learn how to deal with it as a human being and be more positive. I know I'm sure it's hard. All the employers, responsible adults, know that dealing with a problem head-on, face-to-face, will lead to a resolution. Making a new rule, a resolve, or poster will not fix the problem. Our schools are a perfect example of that when it comes to bullying. And lastly, I'd like to say that it's my understanding that any city or town management council or such is to act in an unbiased manner and not bring their own personal or political beliefs to the table. I'd like to reiterate that I love the city of Rockland. I love the people here. I lived in St. George in Rockport for a long time, and I just think the people of Maine are the most welcoming people. I lived in Massachusetts and went to school when they were enforcing desegregation, and it was very difficult. I used to go to Boston when they were ripping people out of cars and off sidewalks because they were heading in for an abortion. I know what it's like to have people be bullied. I've never experienced that here, and I will tell you that I think that I can understand how people are afraid of it, but I think people are reacting to their fear. And I also believe wholeheartedly that as a community, if we saw it, people would speak up and say so, because Mainers act, and they don't just sit back and watch. And that's been my experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Joan Lamoll, and I live at 39 Chestnut Street in Rockland.
Joan, real quick. Folks.
Again, Joan Lamoll, and I live at 39 Chestnut Street in Rockland, and I'm here on behalf of Penobscot Language School, located at 28 Gay Street in Rockland. We have been in the community for over 30 years now, offering language learning to over 6,000 area residents and from citizens around the world. We do that through, and we offer cultural learning as well. So what does this mean for the city of Rockland, and why bother welcoming these people who come for our English immersions, who want to learn languages so that they can feel more comfortable in the world, not just in Rockland, Maine? Our languages that we offer throughout the year help people in the community, businesses, be able to develop relationships with other areas. We've offered language learning to employees at Peoria, we will Horch Roofing, and others to help them be able to manage their businesses more effectively. We offer English immersions during the summer so that citizens from around the world can come here and feel comfortable. We know that our children who experience some of our cultural workshops will feel more comfortable and more connected with the world as they pursue their careers and their relationships later in life. We've used community resources and bettered the community. Our students who are here for English immersions experience all of Maine, from foodie tours to classes to various speakers, including David Miramont, Gordon Page, and others, who readily share their knowledge of the area and of our culture here with these people from diverse places. Last summer, we had a Saudi family who was here. At the end of their stay, or close to the end, they were swimming at Lake Chicoahuacee. There was an incident involving a young person who was drowning. The Saudi man jumped in and saved the young person's life. He didn't care who this person was, didn't care about the color of his skin, or any such issues. He did what needed to be done. We, in turn, need to welcome people such as this to our community and do what we need to do, open our doors, be citizens of the world, encourage others and our children to be citizens of the world by setting the example. Lastly, we had a Moroccan female here last year who looked at me as she boarded the plane or close to when she left the school and said to me, Joan, she was our scholarship recipient. She was one of, I should tell you a little bit, she was one of 11 children born to a mother who could neither read nor write. We offered her a scholarship to come and pursue her English studies here so that she could return and have increased career options. She looked at me as she left and said, Joan, you gave me a chance, and the school gave me a chance, and I won't forget it. She writes, her hosts still stay in touch with her. We form these kinds of relationships again so that our community can feel at home in the world and so that others can feel at home here. We support at Penobscot Language School the issue on the table regarding diversity and hope that others will as well. Thank you.
Joan, thank you. And as Mike comes up to the podium, if we have a show of hands, there should be 9 people left to speak. 1, 2, Eileen,
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay. Mike, go ahead. Sorry.
Good evening, City Council. My name is Mike McLaughlin. I'm chairman of the Parks Commission. I just want to say my idea of a beautiful city is trees and flowers. This past Saturday, we had a community volunteer garden group meet up here at City Council in Chambers. We had 20-some-odd people come, and it was a pretty good success, I thought. They had some great ideas, and hopefully this Saturday we'll be having another meeting here at City Council. 11 p.m., everyone's welcome to come to this meeting, and hopefully they can get kind of organized what they want to do. They have some great ideas, and it was just a really nice turnout to see these people. I hope that maybe between you 4 city councils, one of you will show up, because they've got some questions that I cannot answer. We need somebody a little higher up to answer some questions, I think. So hopefully we'll have one of you come. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Ellie.
Hi, Eileen Wilkinson, 38 Gay Street. I want to thank Council for having this forum tonight. I didn't really prepare anything. I do want to urge you to accept this resolution in its full character. You know, I think that, and I've been very moved by many of the stories tonight, and I hope that you are too. You know, we are in a moment in our history where it really is sort of like we need to take our vows again, and you know, to support and embrace the idea of America. America has always been an idea, and it's and what we're seeing now is a dissolution of that, and it's being chopped away by identity politics from all sides. So I think that it's really important for us as a city at this moment to really express this in very clear terms. I have a very diverse family, and I know some of them don't really like the idea of coming to Maine because it's so white and they feel a little uncomfortable. I have African Americans in my family, I have Jews in my family, Mexicans, Spanish, French, and Italian. I may have missed one, I'm not sure. And so, you know, I am unusual in my comfort level with diversity because it's enriched my life so much. I come from a lower middle class white Catholic family who was never exposed to anyone different from us. But that's how things develop. And your life can be very enriched the more people you allow into your life. And so I do think it's important to just really recommit, that the city commit to the real value that America is based on. It's an idea of inclusion, it's an idea of justice, and it's an idea that embraces everyone. Thank you.
Out of the last seven.
Yeah, come right up.
Hi, I'm Mark Levin. I live on Acadia Drive. Been a resident here about 12 years. Mostly, I'm really good at knowing what I don't know. So I'm a UU minister, and what I've learned my time as an ally is to shut up and to listen and to show up the way that people ask us to. So, for example, in my congregation, we fly a rainbow flag because we've been told that it's really important for people to see that as a sign of our welcome. And so we can't just assume people will know that they're welcome. People who are on the margins are telling us that they need to see a sign. They need to see an outstretched hand. And so, for me, that's what this resolution is. It's us showing up in the way that we're being asked to show up.
Thank you, Mark.
My name is Steve Young. I'm from 71 Meadow Lane in Cushing, and I pastor Penobscot Bay Family Church in Thomaston. And I'm here to lend some true diversity to this meeting because I'm speaking against both resolutions, both the mayor's version and the other version. If one of them has to pass, I definitely prefer the mayor's version because of the deletion of the immigration status. I am married to a legal immigrant. It took me a lot of time and money to get her here legally. It's a slap in the face to those of us who do this to let people just walk in here. And the other thing is, people talk about wanting to feel safe. We hear this over and over tonight. Does it make us feel safe that someone who's already demonstrated a total disregard for U.S. law by coming here illegally is walking our streets? I only support one right for the illegal alien, and that is the right to be deported. Now, with regard to gender inclusion, I'm of the opinion that if you have X and Y chromosomes, you should use the boys' room, and if you have X chromosomes only, you should use the girls' room. End of story. So I think it sends the wrong message for the town to be telling people that certain behaviors are right or wrong like that, particularly something like that. Now you may be wondering, why am I here when I live in Cushing and I pastor a church in Thomaston? I actually do have somewhat of a dog in the fight, I suppose. I have handed out significant quantities of literature on the streets of Rockland declaring that Jesus sets people free from the life-shortening shame of homosexuality. Now, here is the question. Will I end up being marginalized in Rockland? Will I end up being ostracized because I don't cling to the ideals of the Rockland Resolution? What we see all too often that's played out over and over on college campuses is it starts with something like this, and the next thing you know, you have these draconian hate speech laws, free speech zones, and so on, where nobody can say anything that hurts anybody's feelings. We don't want to see that happen. Those things are all unconstitutional, of course, and if anything like that were to happen, I would make sure it got litigated and I would win. The question here is, if this is only symbolic, why are we all here? If this is only a symbolic gesture that means nothing legally, why are we spending all this time on it? But this resolution says that this council will work toward certain goals, and these goals are not the same goals that all of us would like to see. So the question becomes, are you actually resolving that you are going to push for, say, gender-inclusive bathrooms and other things that would tend to marginalize Bible-believing Christians, for example. So I am concerned that this kind of thing tends to become the tip of the iceberg, and it goes downhill from there. And again, we've seen this over and over on college campuses. Thank you.
Good evening, counselors, and thank you to everyone who has listened to everybody else speaking on both sides of this issue. It's a really important part of the process. My name is Chris O'Rowe. I'm also from Cushing. I was almost born in Rockland, but Tembe Hospital is just on the other side of that town line. So, but thank you for letting us all speak to this issue. I'm here tonight partly as someone who helped write the original resolution and help craft that language. And so for me, it's not only disappointing, as others have said, it's really disrespectful to our process that there is an additional document that has not been part of the entire process to the community, to the city council, to everyone like myself who helped write that. As has been referenced elsewhere, this is a resolution. It's not an ordinance. It's not asking to change a law. It doesn't bind the city of Rockland to any particular action. It's a statement of values. It's a statement that we think that these things are important. And I look around the room and I say, boy, there's a lot of people who think these are important and think that these issues matter, that being safe in our communities matters. I'm going to skip over some of the other things because it's been referenced, but for those of us who aren't from Rockland, it's really important. And why does it matter that other communities do this? It matters because Rockland is a very important community in the broader Midcoast region in Knox County. It's an economic engine, and it's a powerful, it's the biggest community, and it's the most strong community. And when so other communities look to Rockland for leadership and look to Rockland as a moral compass and certain issues like this. If a major city in our community takes on these issues and says, yes, we believe that these things are important, other communities will follow and other communities will feel more comfortable saying that. As I said, we hear a lot about sanctuary city, and that's become a really negative political term, and this doesn't tie us to anything. But I want you to think about, as we heard about beacons, we're now having people say that they are opposed to being a sanctuary. And what is Rockland? Rockland is a harbor. And the coast of Maine is full of harbors and coves where people seek sanctuary to feel safe. And I would hope that the city of Rockland, like every other harbor, would want to provide a safe haven for anyone who seeks shelter. Thank you very much for all of your time. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. Please pass the original resolution.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Hannah Faisy. I'm not a resident of Rockland, but I work over at Oceanside on behalf of the school and on behalf of New Hope for Women. I wanted to read a little section of a report the Southern Poverty Law Center released this year. It says, in a post-election SPLC survey of 10,000 educators, 90% said that the climate at their schools has been negatively affected by the campaign. 80% described heightened anxiety and fear among students, particularly immigrants, Muslims, and African Americans. Numerous teachers reported the use of slurs, derogatory language, and extremist symbols in their classroom. I can tell you that we are not separate from this happening at our high school. There's been incidences of hate speech over at Oceanside, which I have seen and been privy to, and also seen the school come together in support of the students that feel unsafe based on these slurs. I've seen the law enforcement come together, and families and other local organizations who have been working to address the shared goal of respect for the young people in our community. Everyone, but I'm coming from a place that's really helpful. The diversity that is expanded on in the original resolution is really, it mirrors the student population over at the high school. I think that there are students that fall under each of the categories of diversity that are explored in the original resolution. And I think that what it really comes down to is the shared goal of respect for all people in the Rockland community, especially young people who we hope will decide to stick around here and continue to grow and thrive in our community.
Good evening. I appreciate your time. My name is Will Niels. I'm a lifetime resident of Appleton, which is in the interior of Knox County, northern Knox County. You know, Rockland's a hub area. You know, we all come here when we're kids and grow up. You know, I remember J.J. Newbury's and stuff. And now, my band, Midnight Riders, we play clubs, bars, restaurants, and places here in Rockland. We've probably played dozens and dozens of the last few years. And I've played Leslie's Place, and I'd like to acknowledge that she is completely and absolutely correct. Her staff never accepts bigotry or racism of any kind, and I'm happy to say that I actually helped them run off a racist in the last calendar year, so who was not welcome back. And I acknowledge that. Thank you, Leslie. I appreciate it very much. The point, though, is I got into music because my parents were into music. And when I was a youngster, I came in here in the 90s, and I volunteered for Paul and Gene Benjamin at the Blues Festival. And I learned a lot from that. I learned a lot about culture. Because, you know, when you're a white kid in Knox County in the 70s and the 80s and 90s, you don't really meet very many people who aren't white people in this county. In fact, technically, I can count on my fingers and toes all the people of color that I met in this county, within the town limits, or within the limits of this county, before I was 18, literally, less than 20. Some of them were kids I went to school with, you know, so I might have seen them a bunch, but I only met them once. But that's a simple reality. We have to acknowledge it. We also need to acknowledge that this is a serious subject, because Maine has a history of supporting the Ku Klux Klan, and we can't whitewash that history. The industrialist mill owners used the Klan as a way to repress a variety of different behaviors that they didn't appreciate, but one of them that they specifically attacked was union organizers. And a lot of the union organizers at that time in the early 1900s and through the mid-1900s in the state were immigrants from a variety of European countries. So it was also used to repress the indigenous, the Native Americans, whose land this actually is. But that doesn't denigrate or put aside the fact that the Klan has most primarily been a terrorist organization to terrorize people of color, and particularly people of African American descent in this country. And I think it's really important, considering that there were just flyers thrown out before the election, as the gentleman Daniel, who lives here in town, cited, in Appleton and Union and Washington in one specific day and incident, it's really important for us to remember that, because background of the Blues Festival. The thing is I think it's really important that we recognize that we already have made these commitments. What we're asking now is for this group, you all, folks on this council, to acknowledge that this is already a priority to this community. Every year, thousands of people come to Rockland to celebrate the blues. It's not a white people's music. So I just want to point out, I was lucky as a kid to get to see Coco Taylor, the woman on this shirt, Queen of the Blues.
Absolutely.
And darn right. And me too. And I was lucky to meet Shanika Copeland, who's Johnny Clyde Copeland's daughter, when she first came here as a teenager right after her father passed. And, you know, those are opportunities that I don't take lightly. And I think it's important for us to remember that every time people come from somewhere else and find refuge here and find people who treat them with integrity and respect and grace and dignity, it is to our credit. And I'm always happy as a music promoter, you know, with the shows I do, or whether it's not even my show. You know, CJ Chenier played up in Camden last winter. I was there, smoking them up, showing some local spirit and just the culture that we have here in Maine, being neighborly. And, you know, and Mr. Chenier appreciated that. To me, that's important. His father is Clifton Chenier. Clifton Chenier is the guy who created mainstream Zydeco music. It would be sort of like being able to support Bob Marley's kid, the guy who made reggae world famous, just on a smaller scale. And so I think it's really important that we recognize that the community is already here. I'm pretty sure you all heard that tonight. And what's crucial is that we recognize, A, the community's there, the community pretty much wants this, and B, there's no economic, fiscal note. I go to Augusta all the time and lobby on bills, not paid, just because it's the right thing to do. I'm either for them or against them, depending on what they're going to do to our state and our people and our land. But Every bill over there usually has a fiscal note attached. There is no fiscal note here. Now, I understand the fear that's already been articulated by some of the children of Abraham here, but nonetheless, we have to recognize that there is no fiscal note. And what we need to accept is that this costs us nothing.
Will, 10 seconds.
Thank you. And the only cost, the only liability, would be if the jewel of our coastal community, because I won't say that about Camden or Rockport, if the jewel of our coastal community here in Knox County declined the opportunity to set a positive example and to make it clear that we will always stand with good people who want to have a good time in a respectful and sensible way, and that they will always have a home in our communities, I would encourage each and every one of you to maintain a strong and consistent stance against racism or bigotry of any kind. It is a fearful way to look and think, and we are not that people. We, I believe, have more courage than that and greater knowledge. Thank you.
Page number 28, we should have two individuals, Sonia and Steve, right? Yep, okay.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Sonia Sieber. I'm out of South Carleton. I just kind of, you know, I was reading this diversity document, and I have to be careful about how I speak because I'm also the chairman of the Knox County Republican Party. So I represent not just myself, a bunch of other people. So I will keep a generic statement in a position, and then if you allow me, I can give some of my own personal perspective. Let's see, I started getting politically active probably 12 years ago now, when I was heard on the radio about the housing bubble. But there's been a lot of changes since then, and I've been investigating, working at the local government, at the national government, at the state government, I'm a member of a planning board. I read newspapers. I've lived all over the world. I've traveled. I've seen different cultures, completely different cultures. And I've seen a lot of things. I've seen very bad things happen to people. Very, very bad things. Very sick people from different diseases where there's nothing that could be done. But the one thing that's always struck me about all these situations is the strength of the human spirit, the strength of the human individual. So when you're saying as a community, and you say we have to have this resolution in order to be, you're denigrating yourselves as nice people. You don't need a piece of paper. You don't need a star. You don't need a ribbon. You just need to be a strong individual and have faith in what you believe in. And so this is just like kind of reinventing the wheels. These are things people should be doing already. You don't need to redo it. You don't need to rewrite it. We have a constitution. We have a Bill of Rights. And we have a due process system that does work, okay? You just have to keep the faith in this system. And I have mainly just some reservations on this because it's creating problems. Like, I was running for office and I've been here, since 2012. I have never once heard a racist comment. Either I'm meeting the wrong kind of people, but I'm going door to door, I'm seeing things, I don't see hate literature. I don't hear people, you know, denigrating other people in general conversation. I've never once thought of anything like that myself, and I don't know anybody who thinks that way. So this is kind of like a foreign thing to me. If it is a concern for somebody, I'd like to hear about it. But I hear people say they've heard this, but when I read the newspapers, there's no mention of this in any of the local papers. There's nothing in the police bar. There's incidents of people wrecking their car, driving under the influence, driving without a license, you know, domestic abuse. But nothing else like that has surfaced that I've seen. So please excuse me if I'm a little surprised by the emphasis on this. And I have to say this document is just similar, almost boilerplate, to every other document presented to other towns. And I have a small concern. I would request that the council, before they make any kind of decision on this, take this up for legal review or allow it to go to the state level, because there's some legal precedences that could be involved in this out of practice that creates things that happen down the line, and we need to be careful moving forward. We shouldn't just jump into something. And that's my two cents. Thank you.
Honey, thank you. Steve.
Yes, please. Thanks.
Finish us up.
Yeah. I'll be mercifully short. Steve Cartwright, Lieutenant's Harbor. I want to say I'm so glad I came down off the peninsula because you have a community here of which you can be very proud. This is really moving, and I'm just kind of overwhelmed. It's great. I'd like to say that my ancestors were illegal immigrants. They came over on the Mayflower. Being a privileged white guy, I really haven't experienced discrimination except I was born in New York City, which I couldn't help. But I've been in Maine a long time. I remember shopping at Economy Clothes and browsing around Crease Hardware and Rockland Boat. That was some of those clothes before people were born here. But I do want to say that I had the privilege years ago of working with Maine's Native American tribes. And they really did experience a lot of discrimination. There's progress, but they were drafted or enlisted and fought in the wars for this country, but they weren't allowed to vote. And my father-in-law remembers signs in Old Town saying Indians need not apply. And you know, signs, symbols, words matter. They matter a lot. And I think this is a real opportunity for the council to go on record. Contrary to what some speakers have said, this doesn't have force of law. There's no risk. It doesn't raise taxes, but it might raise consciousness.
Steve, thank you. And after 34 speakers tonight, public comment is closed.